Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Genesis chapter 20 verse 7. We have the first mention of the word prophet in the Bible. So the first time the word prophet is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 20 verse 7. And it was mentioned of Abraham. So it makes us to understand that Abraham was a prophet. And if you look at his life, you hardly think that Abraham is a prophet. But he was a prophet. And the first time God mentioned the word prophet, as we have noted, was in connection with prayer. So Genesis 20 verse 7 says, "And now therefore restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet and he will pray." He is a prophet and he will pray. In the Bible, there is something called the law of first mention that makes us to understand God's mind or God's purpose for things that he has designed, like the office of a prophet. God's mind for the office of a prophet is for him to, or is for them to pray. That is the main function of a prophet. So Abraham was called upon to pray for the women in the house of Abimelech. So in verse 17 says that, "So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants. Then they bore children." So Abimelech and his wives and the females in his empire, so to speak, had been made barren. It wasn't God's will, but because of a trespass that the king Abimelech committed, God shut the womb of all the females in his empire so that they would not have any future. But Abraham was called upon to pray for Abimelech's household so that they will have a future, they will have children, they will bear children. And that is really the main function of a prophet. A prophet is supposed to pray en masse. Pray that God's healing, God's restoration, God's counsel for the future of people groups are realized. That is the major function of the prophet, to which Ezekiel chapter 13 verse 3 to 6 confirms, and then Jeremiah chapter 27 verse 18 also confirms. Alright, so we want to move on from there, and we want to look at certain things that God has got for us for our future. Because the prophet, the name or the word prophet, means a foreteller, somebody who knows things ahead, and then the person predicts those things to come to pass. Now the prophet is supposed to use God's will, what God has revealed for the future of people groups, and pray it so that that thing becomes a reality in the life of the people. Otherwise, we will have trends will be repeating. What we have known in times past will be what will be repeating from generation to generation and all that. But God reveals his will, he reveals his mind for the future, so that we can pray, we can stand on it to pray that that future will be realized. You see, so that the current trend, whether it is lack of productivity, whether it is mediocrity, whether it is poverty, whether it is inferiority, low thinking, you can't do it mentality, socioeconomic issues like bad trade terms and things like that, they will all come to an end. Otherwise, they will continue to perpetuate themselves from time to time, from generation to generation. So that is why prophetic praying is critical for us. So, in prophetic praying, what we do is that we look at God's counsel for the future and we stand on it to pray. By so doing, we build or we establish what God has ordained for our future now. We establish it in the spirit now, so that when the time comes, the future will flower, or that thing will become a reality, because we have seeded it and we have watered it and we have worked on it for the thing to harvest or to come to a place where we can harvest and we can enjoy it. So you do it today in anticipation of the future, so that the future will be a glorious future, will be that which God has predicted and planned for us. So basically, that is what prophetic praying is about. It is praying like a prophet with the will of God or the counsel of God for the future, not really for individuals, but for people groups, for groups of people to realize it, for God's church to realize it, for the nation of dark-skinned people to realize it, for an industry like manufacturers to realize it, for maybe an industry or maybe a people like females to realize it, and all that. We have to look at what God's word is for our future, and then we pray them now, seeding it, laboring, sweating it now, so that in future we will harvest that blessing. Hallelujah. It is for lack of prophetic praying that we see the trend in the church, which is not desirable, or which is we want changes in it. It is for lack of prophetic praying that we see it. Not just the church, but in our nations also, in various industries, in our families. It is for lack of prophetic praying that we see the old trend perpetuating themselves. All right. So we will look at some 12 issues that God has said about our future that we need to pray about. And we started to look at it on Thursday. Thankfully, Thursday was recorded, and so you can have a listen at what we spoke about on Thursday when you request from the audio visuals. So we want to continue today also. We looked at two issues that God has for our future, which must come to pass. The first one is a reconstitution of the scattered original purposes and glories and understandings and abilities, graces of nation groups or people groups and individuals. You see, we also looked at the restoration of the kingdom mindset. The kingdom mindset is the kind of mind that Jesus Christ had. So we also spoke about a kingdom mindset, that God has predicted a kingdom mindset for us, his people. So we need to pray that this kingdom mindset will become a reality to the church world and to believers. When we start to think kingdom about our churches, about preaching, about business, about family, about our finances, about our lives, we are going to realize practically the rule of God in our lives. So we also spoke about how God wants us to have a kingdom mindset. When Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," he was saying that change your mind, because the kingdom is at hand. Have a different mindset from a religious one to a kingdom one. The word repent does not mean to cry tears. It really means to have a change of mind. So Jesus Christ wants us to have a kingdom mindset. So this is how we're going to begin today's session. I did it so that the junior class who have not tasted it will just have an idea of what prophetic praying is about, so that we can begin from where we all are on the same level somehow. Hallelujah.
You notice, ladies and gentlemen, that many times, or most of the time, the prayers that we offer in God's church, you offer in your life, are reactionary in nature. In other words, they are prayers that you look at what is going on in your life and you cry out to God. So when you have sickness, you pray about the sickness. When there is economic crisis, you pray about the economic crisis. When there is terrorism, you pray about terrorism. When you hear of ISIS, you pray about ISIS. When you hear that some of the people in Ghana are trying to join ISIS, you are alarmed and you pray about it. Now, if you look into your life, you see that all your prayers are in reaction to what is going on. But is that how prayer is supposed to be? Yeah, prayer is supposed to be that. But beyond that, God wants us not to be people who are dancing to the evil tunes of the devil around. Otherwise, it's the devil who is manipulating us. Otherwise, it is the devil who is ruling us and actually ruling our prayer lives. So when he shows up, maybe by something happening in a bad way in your family, that is what you pray about. That forms the bulk of your prayer. But in actual fact, the bulk of our prayer should be on what God has ordained for our future. That is the major part of our prayer. Because most of the time, the things that the devil does, the evil things that we react to, are actually a decoy. A decoy is something to deceive you and to shift your mind from the real thing that God has got for you. It is to engage you in maybe current battles, and then you lose focus of the future. So that you are so much engaged in the nitty-gritties of everyday life, what I will eat, what I will drink, and all that, and you lose sight of the rule of God, of the kingdom of God, or what God has ordained for our future. Hallelujah. It is important for us to understand this, because sometimes we have a certain mind. The mind that we have, believers sometimes have, or I should say, I can confidently say most of the time we have, is that we think that, well, pastor, if I don't survive now, how can I have the future? That is the world's thinking. The world thinks about what I am going to eat now, what I should drink now, what I should be clothed in now. Because if I don't eat, I don't drink, how can I have a future? That is the way that the Gentiles think. But Jesus says that it shall not be so among you. It shall not be so among you. Among us, we do not think about the nitty-gritties, the daily troubles of life, so that we overcome them in order to have a future. What we do is that we rise up above them, and from a prophetic height, we look at the future and we buy the future. We establish the future, and then the other things Jesus promised will take care of themselves. He said, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the way that we operate life, the way we should look at life, is not like the Gentiles, so to speak. In other words, it's not like the people who do not know God. We should look at what God's rule is, and we should seek it now. And the Bible says that then all the other daily things, all the details of your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will be clothed, and all the things that you need, they shall be added unto you. But if you focus on the what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, in other words, you focus on the short term, what I need now, what I need presently, the future will elude you. That is how, I'm talking about, the kingdom future will elude you. The devil will always engage you in the daily vicissitudes of life, daily troubles of life, in such a way that you lose focus of the kingdom future God has got for you, which should be your focus, which should be your mind. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. The way that Jesus' mind works is to capture the future. So you look at typical Jesus. When he was on earth, there were a lot of troubles around. But if you read about his life from the people who walked with him and wrote about him, he will look like somebody who was not even caring about what was going on in the Jewish society or in the life of the people he was living with on earth. It looks like his mind was on something, not on the current colonialization that the Jewish people were suffering under the Romans, on the way they were taxed so much, and all the Romans, all the Jews really, were shunning their fellows who were collecting the taxation from them for the Roman Empire and for the Roman king and all that. It looks like Jesus was even befriending these people, and the Jewish people were offended that these people are our enemies. They are taking taxes from us and giving it to the Romans, and you go and befriend them. They are sinners. Those people were regarded by the Jewish society as sinners because they were in tune with the people, the Romans, who were colonizing them. It looks like Jesus lifted himself above all those troubles, and then he established what God had ordained for the Jewish people. That was his main focus. It did not mean he was not concerned about what was going on, but the major thing that his prayers were on was about the kingdom future. That is why Isaiah chapter 53 verse 11 or so says that he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. In other words, what he really wanted was not what he was seeing around, but he believed and prayed that the kingdom future will become a reality. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and then verse 18 to 19.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
1 Timothy chapter 1 and then verse 18. He says, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience." So Paul is talking to his son called Timothy, and he says that I am giving you a charge. The charge is that you should look at what has been said, the prophecies concerning you, and then do what? You use them to wage a good warfare. To wage a good warfare. Hallelujah. That is what prophetic praying is. It is praying based upon what God has said, what God has prophesied about us. It may not be a present reality. I like the prophetic, you know. The reason is that the prophetic makes us to live in faith. It takes our eyes from our current suffering, and then we focus on the beautiful future that God has got for us. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we have very little control over the past. In fact, we don't have any control over the past. It's gone. It's gone. We don't have any control. The present too, we have little or no control over the present, because things are already set in motion. But the future is where we have total control. So if you lost the past, if presently you cannot help yourself, you must not lose tomorrow. You must not lose the future. You must not have the past perpetuating in the present and going on into the future. So let us look at some two other things that we need to pray prophetically about today. Two other things we need to pray prophetically about, or we need to send into prayer, so that the future of our lives and our children and our children's children will be different. It will not be what we are seeing now. Hallelujah. Right. So let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 17 and then verse 26. Acts chapter 17 and then verse 26. It tells us what God's agenda is for our future. What God's word is for our future. So that we use it to pray. So Acts 17 verse 26. It says that he has made from one blood. Let's all get there. Acts 17 26. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times, the Greek is kairos, and the boundaries of their dwellings. And he gives us a reason, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far away from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Hallelujah. The Bible is telling us something for the future of all men. It says that God did two things, if you like, three things. The first thing is that he created all human beings, irrespective of color, irrespective of geography. He created them from one person, Adam. Adam is a generic name. Adam is a name that God gave to Adam and Eve. Actually, God didn't name Eve Eve. God named the two of them Adam. He didn't say, you are Adam, the man, and the woman, you are Eve. No. That name was given by Adam. But God gave Adam a name. That is the only name God gave in all of creation. He said that male and female created he them, and he called their name Adam in the day that they were created. Their name, plural, he called both of them Adam. That is a height of kingdom unity we must get to. But that's another subject for another day. So God did create all men from one person. That's number one. The second thing is that he appointed times for them. Okay? In other words, he appointed moments that he, God, will step into the life of those people to do what he has always wanted to do. That's a pre-appointed kairos. A kairos is a Greek word that tells us about a fixed or proper time where God himself in his sovereignty steps into time, chronos. He steps into human history, the 24 hours, and he does a specific job in that specified or fixed time. The Bible says that when he made all men that they should be scattered on the face of the earth, he appointed this kairos time for them, and then he gave them geographical boundaries. The Bible says that he did these things for a purpose, so that they will see God. So the reason why God appoints kairos moments where he will step into the life of people groups is so that he will get them to seek him, although they are already living and moving and having their being in God.
Yet God wants them to seek him and find him. Now, seeking and finding God really takes place in his Kairos time. Because until God breaks the heavens and steps in and say, here am I, you will grope and you will try hard as you can, but not really be able to put your finger on God. It is God himself who reveals himself to us. The Bible says that God has appointed such times for people groups on the face of this whole earth. So what are we supposed to do with the scripture? We are supposed to pray based upon the scripture that God himself is going to do what? He is going to bring changes in our society so that suddenly, so to speak, suddenly, are people who do not want to have maybe something to do with God would suddenly decide to have something to do with God. The people who do not want to see God will have a change of heart and begin to see God and find him. Because there are many people who are seeking God. All the religions in the world are an attempt at looking for God, trying to reach out to God. But God wants people not just to seek him, but also to find him. Hallelujah. So we need to pray as a church that the time that God has set for us, we will not miss the time. We will not miss our timing. Israel missed their timing. Jesus lamented, cried, actually wept over Jerusalem. And he said, I wish that you knew the time of your visitation. They missed it. And he said, because you missed it, you are going to suffer unduly. But he said, I wish that you knew the time. And if you read the book of Ephesians chapter 5 or so, or chapter 3, the Bible tells us about redeeming the time. Redeeming the time just means making sure that the time that God has set for something is not wasted. We buy it. The word redeem is just to buy the time. And the Greek word that was translated time over there is not the 24 hours. It's on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It is the word Kairos. In other words, redeem the Kairos. Because the Kairos is set for you so that people will seek God and people will find God. Hallelujah. So we must be sure that when our time comes, we will not be like the people of Israel who refuse to see their time. You know? Because when it happens like that, it's very difficult for people to really find God. The Kairos is a time that he comes to reveal himself to people. Comes on his own to reveal himself to people. So we must pray for our people. We must pray for various people groups in the world. That at the time that God comes, they would yield unto him. And they would see God. Otherwise, they would have lost the Kairos. But the Bible says, buy the future. Buy the Kairos. Take a hold, possess, and own that time that God has set for a specific work of revealing himself to be done. Take hold of it. And don't miss it. Hallelujah. So we need to pray this way for various people groups, so that when it comes to the people in the Middle East, there is a time that God will reveal himself specially to them. When it comes to the people of Africa, there is a time that God has set to reveal himself to them. When it comes to Europe that are turning their back on God, there is a time that God has set for them to know him and to find him. The critical thing is that believers must pray prophetically that when that time comes for the Jewish people and for the Middle East as a whole, they would see God during the time. It's a moment where people are born again in a big way.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.